Praise the Lord, family, and welcome back to another Gift of Life show. I am so excited that you joined me. You know, I just want you to know personally that I am so excited that I get the opportunity to proclaim God's word, to teach his stories and his parables and the precepts and concepts about life. You know, I am so persuaded now that really seriously that there's only two ways to this life: God's way, his will, and our way, or our will. And I'm convinced that our way is all wrong. But God's way, the creator of the universe, manager of all times, he is right. And Deuteronomy 30:19 tells us that we have life or death, blessings or cursing. And he says, choose life so you and your family can live. And life is found in knowing his son, Jesus Christ. 1 John chapter 5, verses 12 and 13 tells us that if you have the Son, if you believe in the Son, and he's in you and you're in him, then you have eternal life and you have a better quality of life while here on earth. So brothers and sisters, I pray that these stories that I'm telling from the Lord are helping you to enter in a deeper level into that new life and find true meaning and purpose for your existence. And this is why I'm just excited that God has forgiven me of all my sins, past, present, and future. And Jesus Christ was that substitutionary atonement that appeased God. And now his righteousness that I have, and he's taken my sins, I am right with God now. And so I don't trust in my self-righteousness anymore. I don't trust in my judgment. Even Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, right around that verse 3, he says, I don't even judge myself. He says, because now he realizes in 2 Corinthians 5:17 that if anyone is in Christ Jesus, they are a brand new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things become new. So salvation for a born-again believer is not just an addition, it's a transformation. It's a brand new life. The old life is dead, buried, and gone. Romans 6:6. It's dead, done away with, inoperative. But in our new life that's incarcerated with the old memories, the old toxic thoughts, things that we remember that we did and will continue to do in sin, but not deliberately. We won't live in that. Well, those are what we have to fight. We have to fight those thoughts, and they come in the form of thoughts, and I've talked about that. So now we're going to look at two sons and a father. And both of these sons, I see a lot of self-righteousness in them. But we're going to focus and go verse by verse so you can just see the loving arms, the loving heart of a loving father that has his arms opened up wide for anybody, the worst sinner in the world or the richest person in the world. His arms are open up wide for anyone who will repent, change the way they think. That's what repent means, to come up higher. To stop thinking the way you think and think the way God thinks. His arms are open up for that type of a person. So let's look at the story. Again, go to www.lovebyexample.com. Get caught up. This is number 4. And just go and look in the archives and you'll see the prodigal. And I have the numbers 1, 2, 3. And you can look at the different sequences as you choose. And I already did an overview. Talked briefly about the word prodigal, what that meant. And to see if you would look that up in the last segment. The word prodigal is a very old English word, and it speaks of recklessness, wastefulness, extravagance, of just wasting. Someone that's just like a wayward son and a wayward daughter that just speaks about themselves, and they're doing whatever they want to do. They're basically rebellious and they're wasteful. They're excessive. They just kind of like, makes me think of Michael Jackson. I remember they showed movies and documentaries about him going into stores and just buying this, buying that, didn't care what the price was, and just wasted stuff. But what did it do him any good? It didn't do him any good. You know, he just wasted stuff. And it's an expression of a spendthrift person that just wastes things. And then there, a lot of times those people are promiscuous so that their moral character is debauched. And it's just, they're just reckless. So that's what prodigal means, is just being shamelessly reckless and shaming themselves, their family, and their friends. I don't know if you know any of those, but that's what the word prodigal means, and it can vary at different levels. So I talked about that. Okay, now we're going to get on in to verses. I'm going to kind of go verse by verse, and as time unravels, I said I want to do 7 shows on this. We'll keep going back and forth, but I want to just start with verses 11, 12, and 13 and just comment on those briefly. Let me just read 11, 12, and 13. Then he said, a certain man had two sons, verse 12, and the younger of them said to the father, Father, give me the portion of the goods that fall to me. So he divided them to his livelihood, or divided his livelihood. 13. And not many days after, the younger son gathered together, journeyed to a far country, and there wasted his possession with, oh my gosh, prodigal living. I'm going to stop right there for a minute. So as we see this story unfolding, we see in verse 12 that the younger son asked the father for the share of his inheritance. Now look at this, which would have been half of what his older brother would have received. In other words, one third of the younger would have gone to the younger and two thirds would have went to the older. That was a law, Deuteronomy 21:17. Though it was perfectly within his rights to ask, it was not a loving thing to do. As it implied, basically, that he wished his father was dead. So it's kind of like this. He basically said this, Dad, I wish you were dead. You are in my way of my plans. You are a barrier to me. I want my freedom. I want to get out of here. I want to be what I want to be. And I want out of this family right now. I have other plans. It doesn't involve you, Dad. It doesn't involve my brother. It doesn't involve my family members. It doesn't even involve this estate. I don't want what you have, and I don't want to be involved in anything that you have for me in the future. I want what I want, and I have nothing to do with you. Just give me my inheritance now, because I'm out of here. Wow, that's basically what he was saying. Basically, he was saying, Dad, I wish you were dead. That's pretty sad. And instead, now here's the thing. Instead of rebuking his son, which the father had perfect rights to do, the father patiently grants him his request. See that? And it says, so he divided them his livelihood. Patiently granted him his request. This is a picture now of God's love. I love this. Letting a sinner go his own way. And in my book, Do You See What I See? I hope you have that. If you turn to page 22, I have this powerful verse in Deuteronomy 30:19. Let me read it. I call heaven and earth as witness today against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that both you and your descendants may live. Isn't that beautiful? He's basically saying, look, choose me. I'm your creator. I'm the creator of all, the manager of all times. I was in the beginning and the end. I'm the first and the last. And he's, you know, and there's no stopping God. He's the creator. And he knows the best plan that he has for our lives because he's planned it out. He has a plan for every individual. And a lot of believers are living purposeless, wasteful, prodigal lives because they don't know who they are in Christ, his son, and all what he's done for them. See, being born again and being saved and being a Christian isn't just an exchange or just an addition. It's a transformed life, a whole different life. The old selfish, prodigal you has been dead and buried, and you've been imputed the righteousness of God. Now you're okay and right with God. Now you don't have to be self-righteous and stand up for yourself and defend yourself. You get to just stand up for God and defend his character on who's in you. Isn't that beautiful? But here we have Christians and believers and non-believers that are still in this prodigal mentality. And they've chosen to choose death. They've chosen to choose curses. So we all possess this foolish ambition to be independent, to try to do what we want to do. But for believers that are growing, you're constantly waxing that off and waxing on the Word of God, putting off the old and putting on the new by renewing your mind every day. And that's what my book is about too. In the third chapter about the performance, if you look in there on page 110 to 115 about how to put on and put off those toxic thoughts. And I use Joshua 1:8 that says, this book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, that you may observe to do all that is written therein. Then your way will be successful, and then you'll have a good life. That's basically what it says. So basically, God has given us everything that pertains to life and godliness, believers. And we need to dig. We need to pull up those toxic weeds and memories of our past that are keeping us stuck like Lot's wife, and keeping us angry like Cain, and keeping us fearful like Adam. We need to pull those things up so we can move forward and kick that giant of despair, that giant of depression. Kick him and then run to the Father. The Lord says that we submit to the Lord. Oh, hallelujah. And resist that giant of despair, that giant of fear, that giant of whatever, the giant that David had to fight. We resist that giant. He will come down, but only through the word of God. That's what Jesus did in Matthew 4. He said, it is written, it is written, it is written. And you know that story. So we need to choose who we are going to serve. Who are we going to trust in? Are we going to be depending on our own selfishness, our own self-effort, our own righteousness, and our prejudice? Or are we going to choose to trust God and be dependent on Him? And so bottom line, it says in Proverbs 13:10 that all contention comes from pride. And this is what you have here, a prideful son that's not grateful for what he had. And this sinful state is a departure and a distance from God. That's what it says in Romans 1:21. And if you read that story in Ezekiel about those dry bones, that's what that was about. The reason those bones were dry is because they had distanced themselves from the living God. A sinful state is also a state of constant discontentment. People who complain and grumble and gripe about things most of the time, they're always angry, they're always defending themselves, they're always complaining. Those are people that have not guarded their mind. In Luke 12:15, it says, watch out, be on guard against all kinds of greed. Man's life does not consist of the abundance of possessions. So they're basically protecting themselves, protecting their goods, and wanting their goods right now. Don't want to wait for anybody. This son learned the hard way that covetousness, see, oh my gosh, covetousness, one of the first commandments of the Ten Commandments and the last. And in Romans 7:7, Paul said he wouldn't have known about covetousness unless he knew what the word said, or what the law said. But it leads to a life of dissatisfaction, disappointment. When you're always wishing you were somebody else, or wishing you were like that person, or comparing yourself with other people, comparing yourself to whatever, and you're not content in discovering who you are, and you're not pursuing that, you're going to be discontent and dissatisfied because you're focusing on the flesh. See, in Romans 8, 5 through 11, it talks about the carnal mind cannot please God. A carnal mind is a futile mind. And that's what it says in Ephesians 4, 17 and Romans 1, 21. It talks about the futility of the mind, that it's futile. It's pointless. There's nothing in ourself and in our flesh and in our ideas and philosophies that can make a difference in this world, because we're fighting against a spiritual demonic force, an enemy, and we're not glorifying God. So that's why He gave us a brand new mind and gave us His word, so that we can meditate on His word and stand and fight like a good soldier and farm like a good farmer and train like a good athlete, according to 2 Timothy chapter 2. So, and then you won't have time to be dissatisfied and disappointed, because those thoughts come from the enemy, just like it did with Adam and Eve. They were dissatisfied and discontent with all the trees they could eat, except for that one over there that was prohibited. Isn't that something? So this son learned that the most valuable thing in life are the things that you cannot buy or choose. Wow. Isn't that something? Now, verse 13 says, and not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and journeyed to a far country, and there wasted, there it is, wasted, prodigal living right there, wasted his possessions with prodigal living. Wow. We read that he traveled to a distant country. It is evident from this previous action that he had already made that journey. This is what I love about this, in his heart. Remember I said a long time ago that you can, everything we think and say and do begins with a thought life. So he got this thought in his mind before he even moved out. Everything we think and say and do begins with a thought. The question is, who are you listening to? Who are you believing? And if you don't know the word, you and your own energy, me and my own energy, we will not be able to discern the difference. And not just studying the scriptures, but also sharing the scriptures with others, being hooked up with other like-minded people, that where iron sharpens iron. Proverbs 17:17. And the physical departure was a display of his willful disobedience to all the goodness that his father had offered him. Proverbs 27:19, Matthew 6:21, and 12:34 talks about the inside of the heart first, and then comes out the out. I love that verse that it says in Matthew 15:19, that out of the heart, every evil thought starts. So before you say anything and do anything, you had to think it first. That's why Jesus said it's not about just saying you didn't murder anybody, you don't lust, you haven't had sex with anybody outside of marriage. It's what are you thinking in your heart? And the only way you can get that righteous heart is to get it from Jesus Christ and protect it as you continue to grow in that. In the process, he squandered all his father's work that he squandered all his father's work that who had worked so hard to give him stuff. And instead of him appreciating it, seeing his cup half full, he saw it half empty, and he became selfish and shallow in his fulfillment and losing everything that he had. Isn't that something? His financial disaster is followed by the natural disaster in the form of famine, which he finds himself feeding pigs. Now you got to understand, praise the Lord, in that time, that was a detestable job for a Jewish person to do. It's Leviticus 11:7, Deuteronomy 14:8, and Isaiah 65:4. Needless to say, he must have been incredibly desperate at that point to willingly enter into such a horrible position. See, he left his position. He was in the house of the Father who had everything for him. But he wasn't satisfied with that position. He got deceived by the enemy and left that position. In my book, Do You See What I See? I talk about our position. We have to first know our position. That's in Romans chapter 6, 1 through 11 or 10. And then reckon ourselves. We got to grab that 11 all the way down. And then the rest of the chapter, we have to learn in Romans 6 our power that we have in that position. And then we have to yield to that position. My goodness, but this son didn't. He wasn't satisfied. Believe the lies of the devil. And the irony of this whole thing, that his choice led him to a position in which he had no choice. Because he chose to leave his high, lofty position with his father and believe the enemy, he ended up losing everything and lost his position and the power to choose at that moment. And the only choice he had was to work. Just to work. For, now here it is, he was working for his father, but now he's working for a stranger in a faraway land. And the very thing that he refused to do for his father, he had to end up doing it with a stranger, with pigs, and to the point to where he lost everything and he ended up eating the pig's slop. My goodness. To top it off, he, like I said, he didn't have enough money to buy any food, so he had to end up what the pigs ate. Just when he thought that he must have thought that his life couldn't get any worse, here's the thing, he didn't have any friends. Where's all his friends when he had all this money? And he's out there partying and giving stuff away and all these people around there. He didn't find anybody that had mercy on him. Apparently, all those people that once loved him because of his wealth and so-called friends, the text says, look what it says, I believe it's in 17, let's read that, in verse, let me turn over here, he says, when he spent it all, verse 14, when he spent it all, look at this, then arose a severe famine in the land, and he began to be in want. Then he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into the fields to work. There's no friends. Where's all his friends? His friends are gone. You know, they're not there anymore. And so he's basically caught in this dungeon of slavery. This is a picture of the state of the lost sinner. It's also a picture of the state of a rebellious Christian or a carnal Christian. Christians who say that they're born again, but they're not following Christ, are being deceived, and are really have returned back into the bonds of slavery. They think they're saved, and it could be in all kinds of forms of religion. It could be in forms of money. It could be in forms of relationships. It could be in forms of just materialistic things, because they think they have to work out their salvation to get God's acceptance. Remember I talked about that earlier, that back in those days, back in Jesus' time, it was an unthinkable thing to think that God, you know, the creator of heaven and earth, would freely accept and forgive a repentant sinner. See, this was a shocking thing for them to think that God would actually come down on earth as Jesus says he was, would come down on earth and mingle with tax collectors in the worst kind. And in his society, there was no such thing. They thought that God, basically attitude towards sinners, was a very stern and a disapproval. And therefore, that repent, that sinner trying to be right with God, had to work hard to redeem themselves to gain some kind of degree of favor or some kind of degree of acceptance. So Jesus is saying just the opposite. No. Mm-mm. And you're going to see as this story unfolds that that's the attitude that the Father had in this story, which is a picture of God, our loving Father. It's a picture of what sin really does in a person's life when they reject the Father's will. Hebrews 12:1, Acts 8:23. And I love this. In my book, if you look at my book on page 115, I got this saying. I think I got it from Andrew Womack. I'm not sure where he got it, but I loved it enough to where I put it in my book. It's on page 115, and it says this. Sin, now remember, sin, we talked about that. Sin is lawlessness, basically. 1 John 3:4. Sin is lawlessness. I've got a little hesitation there. Whenever I get a hesitation in my spirit, if I'm not given the right verse, I have to go look it up. But I also say in a positive way, I say, if I remembered it, then I got $1 million. Let's see if I get $1 million because I gave you the right verse. 1 John 3:4. I think I did. I think I got $1 million. Yay! It says, whoever commits sin commits lawlessness, and sin is lawlessness. So God's word is law. When God speaks, that's it. So basically, this is what this saying says on page 115. Sin will take you further than you want to go, keep you longer than you want to stay, and cost you more than you want to pay. I'm telling you, sin promises freedom, but brings slavery. John 8:34. And even in Hebrews, with remember Moses, it talked about that with Moses. See if I can find that really quick. I got a good song I want to play for you. And it just fits my personality, just working until we sweat. Praise the Lord, until we see Christ being formed in you. But right here, it talks about Moses, that how he forsake the riches of Egypt to pursue the love of God. I'm not finding it right now, but it is in Hebrews. I didn't have it marked here, but it's in Hebrews. I believe it's chapter 11 right here. Let's see about Moses. Okay, or maybe it's... let's see, I'm not finding it, but I'll get it. Next time I'll get it. Or you find it and you let me know. But there is a passage here in Hebrews that talks about... I love that too. And I don't have it marked in this Bible, but it talks about Moses forsaking the riches of the world, because you know sin does look good. Those riches didn't look good to Moses, but he realized, God opened up his eyes and realized that that he wasn't going to sell out. He had a call from God, and he knew that he needed to follow God. So, brothers and sisters, I just want to encourage you to stay focused on Christ, to stay focused on who he is and what he has done for you, and follow his purpose. And read this story about, this prodigal son, because, you know, I know a lot of people are saddened, you know, they're sad, and they're caught in a lot of different things, and they don't know what to do. They just feel confused. And God wants you to know that he loves you. He has a plan for you. And he wants you to experience all the things that he has given to you. Hey, I got to go. I got a song for you. I hope it plays in Jesus' name. Bye-bye. Uh-huh. All it takes for I've been truly blessed. When I think about Jesus and all
my clothes on my back get wet. Ain't nothing like praising you, and I feel it all in my bones.
In my bones.
I can't control myself, sir. Everybody leave me alone. Watch me fly. Holy Ghost.
Ooh.
Whip me till I sweat.
Ooh.
Can I get my praise on?
Ooh.
Cause I've been truly blessed. When I think about Jesus and all he's done for me, I'm getting excited and I just can't hold my peace.
Jesus
came in my life.